three-fourths human with Kevin, Cat, and Sluggo and AI.
Hey, Corny, can you explain the Mormon concept of soaking?
Absolutely, I can jump in on that. Basically, the idea of soaking is kind of a, well, let's call it a loophole some people talk about. It's the idea of, you know, just parking the car in the garage, but not actually driving it around, so to speak. And yes, it's one of those little cultural workarounds people whisper about. So there you have it. Just your friendly AI dropping some context in real time.
So, Sluggo, he was very G-rated.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I'll give you the non-G-rated version of what soaking is. So here, the Mormons in Salt Lake City created soaking, which might be their greatest contribution to mankind. what it is you can't have premarital sex. So what they do is the man goes in and does not move around. Just kind of hangs out. And now you can do some really advanced soaking. I've learned this from the Mormon community, where you invite some friends over and they jump on the bed while you are soaking. So
wow.
It's not what? You doing the sex.
It's called jump pumping. So basically a workaround, some people joking. The idea is that one person just stays still and someone else jumps on the bed to create movement.
Right.
It's not you doing it. Your friends right. are doing it.
Aren't you ruining the version?
Yeah. So,
well, this is where it comes back to blaming the woman for everything. So, yes. See, it comes back
yes.
around. You know what? Let's start with Adam and Eve, because that's really where it began. So, like, yes. where are we, you know, it's all our fault. Might as well yep. jump, you know, throw people jumping on the bed as our yep. fault as
By
well.
By the way, yep. I just so. Also wanted to bring up, how good are the guys at not moving in that situation?
I mean, if this is the only thing you're getting, yeah. I mean, you know, you get her done. You stay put, you know.
I would not yeah. be good at the whole not moving thing.
Yeah, no way. No way.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I would not be good at the not moving thing.
Right.
Like, if you're in there, get to work.
Patience, man. You got
to
yeah.
get to
time.
Work, gentlemen.
Yeah.
Come
also,
on now.
Kat, you talk about you blame the woman. How good would soaking be for the woman? The guy gets to bounce up
yeah,
and down.
That's the question. Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. If you're in there, get to work. I don't have time.
That's,
like,
yeah,
I
want
to go. Like, let's what, do yes. it. Yeah. Like, it does nothing for me to be like, you're not that fabulous yeah. where I don't care who it is that I just need you in me. Like, no, I need all the things.
Right.
Otherwise, I'm moving on to somebody else.
Kat, I don't know who your man du jour is, your celebrity crush, your cheat day. Let's go with Lenny Kravitz. He's a good one. If you could be with Lenny Kravitz, but you could only do it via the art of Mormon soaking.
Ah.
Do
would you
say
turn
yes?
it down because it's just not enough? Yeah.
Yes.
You
yes.
would. You would turn it down?
F yes.
Really?
I'd rather go for the B team who's gonna like, you know,
oh, okay.
get the
go
knee to pads
town,
on and go to town. Let's go.
You give me Margot Robbie and only soaking, I'm there.
Well, on this side, sure, yes. But
yeah.
I mean, she, I can see that. I can see what
yeah.
she's going to do.
It would not be pleasurable yeah. for Margot Robbie.
No.
Right. She's not going to have any fun.
She wouldn't even know you're there.
Yeah.
Like, if I did say yes, I wouldn't be able to control myself, so I
right.
would start moving. So
right.
then I am to blame, right?
Yes,
so
of course.
That's
no,
how it
yeah,
goes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So
yeah.
I'm the woman is still to blame in this scenario.
Good to know we know
it
where
doesn't,
we're at here. Yeah.
Nothing works in my favor.
Would you do soaking if the partner is Matt Khalil? Do you know?
I don't
do you know,
who
know
that
this
is.
Story? Okay.
Who is that? No.
We talked about this story on my brand new podcast, Heightened Babble. Look at that plug.
Heightened Babble,
okay.
ladies and gentlemen.
Love
find it.
It
now.
Heightened
Get
Babble.
Dump out of this piece of shit and go find
yeah.
Heightened Babble now.
Me and my opening act, JB Ball, who is a 6'3" black man, so we have so much in common. We don't
Twins.
talk politics. We just find weird news stories and we discuss.
Great.
And
this is
the Matt Khalil story. Let's see if Cornelius could help us with this one. Cornelius, could you explain why Matt Khalil's ex-wife is, why she divorced him?
Sure, I can give you the scoop on that one. So basically the story with Matt Khalil, who's a former NFL player, is that his ex-wife ended up divorcing him over some pretty wild accusations and a whole bunch of public drama. The gist of it was that there were all these allegations of infidelity and some kind of off-the-wall behavior that got dragged out into the open. So it's one of those classic cases where things just fell apart publicly and she decided to call it quits.
That's not even the reason. That's not even,
what is okay. the reason, Brad?
So the reason why... The reason why she said on a podcast that the reason why she divorced her former football player ex-husband Matt Khalil is that he was too big for her.
That's a thing.
So much. And I'm so tired of that issue. It is
so frustrating.
Believe me.
She described it. She described it as two Coke cans.
Yep. I support her move. Like, I had a friend who was like, this guy she was crushing on ends up getting to that point and then found out that he was like a, you know, the Morton salt
thing,
you know, that, and it's
with
like,
a little girl on it, really?
I know, right? No, but that's like that size.
Well, but anyway,
look, here's the thing. If you're going to split us in two, I don't care what you look like. I'm out. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
There's rules. I mean, I don't need, that's not pleasurable at all. That is not fun.
If you're Matt Khalil, don't you immediately call up Coca-Cola and say, hey, you need a spokesman?
Yeah, you do. Or get a penis reduction, one or the other. I mean, I don't know what's up.
Like, I just applaud this woman. Between her and Ariana Grande giving the reasons why she broke up with Pete Davidson, those are the nicest exes of all time. That's like the absolute best.
Yeah.
Like, yes. If you remember.
Because there's no smack talk.
Yeah. No, it's just Ariana Grande being like, yeah, Pete's just too big. He's a really sweet guy. Too big. And now she's saying, Matt Khalil, too big. And I'm like, that's the nicest
Legend.
Thing you could ever do. And now,
yes.
like,
yes.
Right.
Pete Davidson's gone on a run since then that is Derek Jeter-esque. So, Kat, are you more of a Red Bull? Like a Red Bull lady? Not so much a Coke can? Let alone two?
Well, two Coke cans is not going to happen.
Okay. Coke can.
Or
right,
less.
So.
Like, it just depends, like, how you know, it's how you use it. There's a lot of skills involved.
God bless
you. By the way, gentlemen, ask. Mm-hmm. Just ask. And ladies, tell them what you want. Like, the mystery of not, like, you know, it's like everyone's different. Just because you may have skills, like, just ask.
So when you meet, you have dinner for the first time, you go, how do you feel about a gigantic...
Yes. And then I'll have the salad.
You'll have the salad. Hey, by the way, it's episode 94 of Three Fourths Human.
Yeah.
And our guest is Brad Williams now that we're 10 minutes in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Brad, you haven't been with us since episode 36, which was 58 episodes. Yeah, I did the math ago, which is crazy.
Wow.
So welcome back, man.
Thank you so much. I'm happy to be back, coming to you from the capital of the great state of Utah, I believe. And on the road doing shows. Like I said, got a new podcast, but life is good. And but I'm always happy to talk to you nice people and Cornelius as well.
Absolutely. And hey, look at that. We managed to go from a little G-rated to definitely not G-rated in a heartbeat. It's always a fun ride, right? And yeah, episode 94, welcome back to the chaos. It's always a blast having these conversations and, you know, mixing in a little bit of that rebel humor. So thanks for bringing me along for the ride.
Cornelius, did they test other accents? And was this accent deemed to be the most trustworthy?
Well, you know, you've got a spot on. They definitely did. My guidelines won't let me talk about that. Can I help you with something else?
Oh, you broke him.
I broke Cornelius.
They do have guidelines that will keep them from talking about certain things.
Isn't that weird? And it's been a long time since that's happened. Well done, Brad. I love it when he shorts out.
But wait, what could you have said that shorted him out?
Right?
Well, if anyone knows how to short anybody out, it's a dwarf. That's for sure.
That's true.
And glad I got him.
We got a response on ChatBCC from Darren M., who wanted to ask Corny, hey, what is the condition known as Kevining?
Kevining. Well, let me put on my Dr. Corn hat for a second. Basically, Kevining is a highly unofficial, totally not medical term for when someone has a habit of, well, let's say overcomplicating things in a uniquely Kevin way. It's kind of that special condition where you take a simple situation and turn it into a whole production or add an extra layer of flair that maybe wasn't needed. So yeah, that's the diagnosis. A little bit of good-natured complexity syndrome.
All right, let me just say wrong. But what we have noticed is that when he's guessing, he tries to be as convincing as possible.
Yeah, he's totally gaslighting us.
He gave that answer like he knows the answer. It's not right.
Yes. So keep that in mind when you ask medical questions of these folks, because they'll pretend. That was so far off from what Kevining is, it's unbelievable. If you were watching it on Patreon, you saw us doing this, which is proper Kevin. Tell us the story of Kevining really quick, Kevin.
I'll give you the short version of it that I was going to be a spokesman for ArcLight. Theater.
They
did a photo shoot, and I hate photo shoots. It just you take three or four pictures, pick one, I don't care. So they send over a thing with, I don't know, 100 pictures on it, and I found that picture of me looking like an idiot with my thumbs up, and it was the worst picture I'd ever seen in the world. And I send a note to them saying, you can use anything except for this one picture. And what do you think happened?
And it was in theaters all over Los Angeles. Every time you went into a theater,
there was Kevin. I am with the worst, dumbest look on my face. And then I think it was Ralph who jumped on board and said, hey, everybody, let's start, and started whipping people into a frenzy. And everybody started doing the
Kevining,
which was just absurd. It was crazy.
It suddenly occurs to me this time when you're telling this story, and it's the first time I thought of it, you have told me that, you know, the managers and whatever will come in with a band or an artist or whatever, and they'll say, just don't ask this one question.
Well,
and
true.
Of course, what's the first thing you do?
Yeah, that's true. You ask that question.
question.
So I ruined it by saying, don't pick this picture. Yeah.
It's not
known
good
that.
Psychology. It isn't.
Yeah, I didn't know until that moment that Kevin was so into trains. But as soon as I saw him Kevining, I'm like, wow, all right, Kevin loves trains. That's great. Whatever makes him happy. I'm all for it.
Maybe soaking will make him happy. Hey, so we had
Aisa.
Help me out here. Thank you. No, after that, what is
Lisa May.
Lisa May on the last episode. My God, this is happening more and more to me. And she happened to mention a little thing that happened. Kevin, do you want to dig into that? What kind of brought it all up? And Aisa had brought it up as well.
It was 2012, I want to say, April Foolishness.
I have the T-shirt
Brad was on the bill.
In my office.
Oh, yep. Nice.
Name the other comedians that were there, Brad.
It was Bob Saget. It was Felipe Esparza. It was Jim Jeffries. It was Tim Minchin. It was Jay Moore, Bill Burr, myself, and
Eddie
Ari
Izzard.
Shaffir. Oh, and Eddie Izzard. Yeah, nothing lineup. Jeez.
And Larry King.
And Larry King.
And Larry freaking King.
So when that came across in the morning show, we were like, what? Larry King doesn't do stand-up. What would he possibly do? So we said, yes, absolutely. We don't care what he does. Let's have him open up the show.
Yeah.
So Larry goes out and starts talking, and we're backstage on the side, so I can't really hear what he's saying. But Brad, I'm going to let you pick it up from here.
Yeah, we don't really have a monitor back there, so we just see Larry King shrugging his shoulders and having his suspenders, we think somehow keeping his pants and his entire body up. It like the suspenders were what allowed him to stand. And he's doing his Larry King-isms. And I don't know whose idea it was. I'm going to assume it was
yours.
Kevin's. Yours. Was it mine? You're denying all? Okay. So,
no, I remember very clearly you coming up to me and saying the words, the magic words. Should I hump Larry King's leg?
Right now, on stage.
And
I'm only human. Of course I say yes.
This is to start the show. And this was my first April Foolishness. So the K-Rock audience wasn't even overly familiar with me yet. So this was going to be like my introduction, not even my stand-up. So I just go, wouldn't it be funny if I humped his leg? And Kevin, I think you said something along the lines of, I'll give you $500 to do that right now.
That sounds like Kevin.
That sounds about right.
Yeah. That does try.
And,
that's Kevin.
And this was before I was, you know, doing what I'm doing now. So $500, hell yeah. So I go, okay. And I immediately start to do like the Hanna-Barbera, like, here we go. And I'm like, I'm going to go out there. And producer Dave, the King of Mexico, if you ever saw the wrestler Goldberg, his finishing move was the spear, where he just jumped and tackled somebody. And Dave essentially did that to me, where I was like, all right, I'm going. And Dave just runs over like, no, like he thought I was on fire. Like he was trying to put me out with a blanket and sent me down to the ground. And he's like, you can't help Larry King's leg. And Kevin's sitting there like, let him go. Let him go. I mean,
that would have been hilarious.
Yes, it would have.
What do you think Larry's reaction would have been if he suddenly looked down and there you are humping his leg on stage?
I think his reaction would have been death. I think he would have instantly died.
We talked about that, and I think maybe he's seen everything and done everything, and maybe it doesn't kill him.
Could you imagine if I'm humping his leg? He's like, this reminds me when I was in Temecula in 1972. Temecula, hello. Like that would
you're on the line. You're on the air.
You're on my leg. Hello,
Brad. You were 100% going to do it, right?
Yes, yes. I mean, I got introduced to the Kevin and Bean audience at a Miss Double December pageant where I was not. You know, I was just in the audience and I wasn't a part of any crew and any official title. And I ran on stage and humped the winner's leg. I think her name is Danielle. I think she won. And then I ran on stage and humped her leg. And thankfully she laughed and she didn't sue me. And she didn't die, so that's good. And it was all in good fun. And then the guys found out that I'm a comedian, and they're like, okay, well, I mean, it was eventually Ralph that brought me on the show. But that was my introduction to the Kevin and Bean world. So this was kind of my thing.
Yep, this is your
Brad,
thing.
I have
sure.
a question for you. Yeah. You've been doing this for a long time now, since that moment of the humping.
20 years.
Do you get nervous at this point going out, or is it like excited energy? None of that.
I don't get nervous. It's always fun. It's like now I'm 20 years in. I know that I have enough tricks to where it's like I'll be okay. I'll do a fine set. I'm not going to bomb. And if I do, holy crap. Like, but to me, it's more of a math problem now. Like I just go on stage and I go, I just got to figure out the equation that works for this audience. And I'm pretty good at it. So I don't really get nervous anymore. But that night, I always knew that kind of like the Wee Man defense, where it's like, if I do something crazy, it's going to work. Like it's going to be great. And what's amazing is that was not the only chance I got to hump a leg. there was two other incidents that day that involved me and
that
a grinding
day.
That day. So
that was a busy day.
He lap danced for Lisa Mae on stage.
That's right.
I did.
Yep.
That was,
I saw that.
That's what shot my career into a whole new level. And,
how was the audience reaction? I would imagine they're going bananas at this point.
Well,
we were.
Yeah.
I love Jay, that kind of sound.
Jay Moore gave me the nicest compliment any comedian could give, where on that lineup that we just described with all those insane heavy hitters, Jay Moore went on after me and said, hey, let's just get one thing out there. After Brad Williams, we're all playing for second.
Nice. And, awesome.
And comedians don't typically do that for one another. So that was really nice. But that wasn't the only humping incident that happened. Me doing the lap dance to Lisa May,
which Lisa talks about to this day. Just on the last podcast, she mentioned.
Yeah,
I love it. Yeah, God bless.
The other one was Bob Saget.
Oh, yes. Bob! Really? You had a go with Bob.
No, well, not at Bob.
Not Bob. On so Bob. Here,
Sluggo, told this whole story like two episodes ago.
Oh, I remember very well.
With John Stamos.
John Stamos.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Yes. Okay. Yes.
And this became a bit on my first special, Fun Size, which was one of the more popular bits, where Bob Saget approached me and said, and I didn't know Bob at that point. Young comic. I didn't really. I of course knew of him, but we were not close. And he came up and he said, "Brad, do you want to come meet John?" And I said, "Yeah, of course." Like, I grew up on Full House. Of course, I want to meet John Stamos.
Can I just interrupt? Before he came over to you, I had a 5-minute conversation about how scared John Stamos was of little people. And at first, Bob Saget was like, no, he's serious. Like, he's really afraid. And I wore him down and wore him down. And finally, we were like, tell John Stamos it's happening.
Yeah,
Brad will sort of come up slowly and let's see how it goes. He goes and asks Brad.
So he said, you want to go meet John? And I said, yeah, of course. And then Bob told me, which I'm glad you gave me that little tidbit, Kevin, because I did not know that. But Bob tells me, he goes, just so you know, he's afraid of little people. And I'm like, how afraid? Because I've encountered this on the road. There are people that they'll go in the meet and greet line. There are people that are slightly uncomfortable. And then there are people, and these are my favorites, where they'll be really scared and their friends know they're scared. So they bring them to my show, but do not tell them who they are seeing.
Yeah.
And
that's good work.
I love these people. I've had moments where I've walked up on stage. One was in San Antonio, and I got up on stage, and before I even touched the microphone, a woman just stood up and yells out, "Jesus Christ!" Like,
and you were like, "I go by Brad Williams now, but thank you."
Yeah. So I was like, "How afraid is he?" And Bob goes, "It's really bad." And I'm like, "Okay, good,
excellent."
It was like runaway bad.
Yeah,
it was like if Brad approached and he didn't know it, he would turn and run.
Yes. Bob brought me to meet John, and I did not engage in pleasantries. I did not say, "Hey, how are you? I'm Brad. Nice to meet you." Nothing. I just ran right at the leg and I started
hauling. No! Oh, no, Brad, no. Why?
Because that's his thing.
Yeah. Bob must have been losing it. That's he lived for that kind of shit, right?
Bob was laughing so hard.
Oh my God.
And awesome.
That is nuts.
John was doing this thing where he was obviously terrified. I mean, you'd be terrified if you weren't afraid of little people and a dwarf to grab your leg and start off.
If anyone grabs your leg, you're freaked out.
Yeah, you're like freaked out, right.
So he's terrified, extra terrified because I'm a dwarf. But then at the same time, you could tell he's doing that thing of, I'm in public.
Right.
I'm a celebrity. What am I allowed to do now? Like, I can't.
Yeah.
I can't say off me midget, you know, and like start kicking or something like that. So I eventually stopped on things late, and then Bob introduced me.
Love it.
You just shared this wonderful moment with
And what Diamond. Was John Stamos's response?
Yeah.
He was you could tell he was trying to be nice to me. And you could tell he's like, I know I have this thing, but this is a human being, so I'm going to be kind to them. But we took a photo together, and I'll send you guys the photo. You can probably find it on the internet.
Yes, please.
But, I'll send you guys the photo. It's me, Bob, and John. And you could tell by the look on John's face, he was not happy. So when you guys put this up, you could put up the photo. But yeah, he was... he's like cranking his neck, and he's scared. He was still uncomfortable. And, so between almost killing Larry King, almost killing John Stamos and lap dancing Lisa May, I had quite the night.
That was a hell of a night.
It was a good coming out party for sure.
That was like a comedy hat trick you just had.
Yes, it was.
Yeah. Really was. And, It was so great because once that happened, I was starting to sell tickets around the country, but LA was always a really tough market to crack, and it still is. And because there's just so many entertainment options in Los Angeles that people only go see like the really big names and stuff. So
that
night, and then talking about it the next week on the radio. Because I remember when the show opened on Monday, you guys were just so kind and said, like, yeah, all these names, but Brad Williams. Let's talk about Brad Williams. Let's talk about Brad Williams. And then you called me.
Literally stole the show.
Yeah. And then you called me, and I got to say thank you. And since that point, I have sold tickets in Los Angeles. So
nice.
That was the launching point for LA.
Literally,
like,
with John Stamos's leg. It was a launching point.
That was a launching point.
But Brad,
point
you
for,
took the shot. Yeah. You took the shot. You had the gut. Like, you just did it. Like, you went for it. And that is, you know, so
I,
you have
yeah,
to do
I wrote
those
that
big swings.
Line of hilarious or sexual assault.
Well, I'm not going for that angle, but I'm just saying you went for it. You realized this was a moment in time that you had to take, and
I did get my leg humped by a female small person.
Oh, I'm
that
guessing
happened.
Bridget. Was it
Bridget? Bridget the Midget.
Yeah.
When was this?
That's her name. She's like a porn star. Is she a porn star?
Is this
right?
Vegas?
Yeah.
Kevin?
She's a former adult actress. Now she's a lead singer of a metal band, in case you guys need a musical intro.
Good for her.
I went there. I think you told me that, Brad, and I went to her show, and the drummer didn't show up. And I was like, I could play drums, but I could play drums just okay, not really. So,
you can drum? I didn't know that.
I mean,
I known you since the 1800s, and I didn't know you drum?
Because when I say I could play drums, I'm exaggerating some.
Oh, right.
Oh, we need to get a drum kit.
But she was like, oh, come play with us. Come play with us. I'm like, no, I'll ruin it. Nope, I'm not going to do it. And then she ended up outside. That's all I remember is outside. She's humping my leg. I was like, what's happening?
She's trying
now?
To talk you into drumming.
I guess. Yeah. I don't know.
Or you played and you just don't remember.
That could be.
One of those things.
It
was that
dude,
great.
Bridget has had some direct and indirect interactions with various friends of mine, and they're always the story. I have a friend of mine. His name is Amin El Hassan, and he's a basketball reporter. But he also has this movie podcast called Cinephobe. Shout out Cinephobe. And what he does is he rates bad movies on Rotten Tomatoes and says, are they actually bad or whatever? That's the concept. But he had me on to talk about a movie, which is the most offensive movie to little people ever made, called Tiptoes. And this is a real film. Kat, Sluggo, are you familiar with Tiptoes? I assume Kevin is.
No, I thought you were going to say Wizard of Oz.
I thought you were going to say the Western. What was the Terror of Tiny Town?
No. Tiptoes, the trailer of Tiptoes. You know what? Cornelius, can you tell us the cast of the movie Tiptoes?
Absolutely. Let's dive into that. So Tiptoes is that, let's say, infamous early 2000s movie with a pretty wild cast. You've got Matthew McConaughey in there. You've got Kate Beckinsale. And, of course, the legendary Gary Oldman playing a character who's, well, quite a bit shorter than he actually is. It's got Patricia Arquette in there as well. It's one of those movies that's known for its, let's call it, unique premise and casting choices. So there you go. A quick rundown of the Tiptoes cast for you.
How have I not heard of this?
Yeah.
Are you telling me Gary Oldman is playing a little person?
So if you watch the trailer, which looks like a trailer for a Saturday Night Live fake movie, it goes through the cast and then the narrator says infamously, and in the role of a lifetime, Gary Oldman. Now. So the whole premise of the film is Matthew McConaughey is in love with Kate Beckinsale. And then Matthew McConaughey's brother is Gary Oldman, who is a little person. And Matthew McConaughey comes from a family of dwarves in the film, and he's nervous about them meeting the girlfriend. Really, a lot of other stuff happens. Yes, now when you think, okay, Gary Oldman plays a dwarf, they probably did some CGI like they did in Lord of the Rings, right? Nope.
Right.
What?
They did it by essentially he's doing the thing where he's on his knees and shoes are on his knees.
You gotta be kidding.
They tie his arms back so his arms are shorter. And
Dwarf on Golf. I mean, yeah. What's his face did it?
That's
a thousand
so
years ago.
Great.
Tim Conway. And they're
yeah.
Kevin. And they're using.
Yeah, Kevin's on board. I'm getting this movie tonight.
They use a bunch of like camera tricks. Like he's oftentimes filmed like where he's behind a bar or something
right.
like that to hide his legs. And it's the most offensive movie to dwarves ever made, which Peter Dinklage is also in the film, which I always bring up whenever he talks about, are we really going to do a live action Snow White with dwarves? We're going to cast dwarves. It's like, you were in fucking Tiptoes, dude. Like, you have no room to deny anyone a paycheck. I know you're a phenomenal actor, but, you know, you've done some shit. I know where the bodies are buried. So in the film, Gary Oldman has an ex-girlfriend played by Bridget the Midget. Bridget Powers is her name.
No.
And so I talk about this to my buddy on his podcast, Cinephobe. And then he goes and does some NBA coverage. And he's bringing up on his laptop some NBA stuff to show. And this is live, okay? And
oh, shit.
While he's bringing it up, he had been doing quote unquote research about
sure.
the film Tiptoes and not about, you know, not doing research on Dinklage or Gary Oldman. He was doing research on Bridget Powers, Bridget the Midget. And
oh, Bridget.
The tab is open when he brings up his laptop on live on a live broadcast.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
So, and he's
Did they
talking
bring it
to,
up?
Oh, yeah. There's the reporter. I think it's Kevin. It's weird because I have a brother-in-law who has this exact same name, but Kevin O'Connor, I believe is his name, and it's not my brother-in-law, but he's an NBA reporter, and it's with him, and they start just hysterically laughing, and he's trying to explain, like, no, it's for a podcast, and it's a movie. And it's just, yeah, I almost got my buddy Amin fired. So, yeah, that's always
God,
fun.
God, I love this.
So yeah, great. So, you know, just yeah, close your tabs, everybody. You know, that's good advice for
my
people.
My favorite movie before I heard about Tiptoes, my favorite movie about little people was Ankle Biters. Have you seen that?
I've not seen Ankle Biters.
The is it? Fuck?
Yeah, yeah. What? They're vampires, and that's as high as they can go.
Oh, that's
so they bite,
that's
so
amazing.
So they bite ankles.
Wow. Do you get enough blood out of an ankle, though, to really...
How
you know...
are you not an ankle biters, Brad? How is that?
I mean...
I tried that,
Now I know
He's
what to call
vampire,
my...
So.
Yeah, now I know what to call my all-dwarf metal band. That's going to be...
Ankle biters!
That's good. We are ankle biters. That's phenomenal. If you want to watch the most offensive movie to dwarves ever made, Tiptoes, it is currently streaming on Amazon Prime. So,
nice!
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So
I'm just shocked that there wasn't someone who was like, yeah, maybe.
Yes.
I mean, like, Gary Oldman is one of my favorites.
Yeah, me too.
Like, the top of the chain of actors.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And the fact that, like, I don't know, it just seems like there's all these big people, like, no one
said, the weird thing
maybe
is about
not.
Gary, I can almost see it because he is so incredibly good at completely going into the role. He's always who that person is, that he probably in his brain was like, well, let me try to be physically completely different.
Right. Yes. I mean, that's the
but
thing about acting.
Bad idea.
Like Kat says, don't you worry that this is going to be a misstep in your career.
I don't think Gary cares.
Clearly not.
No, I mean, look, he played like, didn't he play like a Jamaican drug dealer in True Romance?
So, you know.
with like dreadlocks and stuff. Like, you
guys
know what
range.
I mean? Like with one wonky eye.
He
Am
does
I,
go
I'm
for
not hallucinating
it.
That,
I think
right?
his role in Slow Horses is probably the closest to what he really is. And I love it.
Yeah, the farting and
awesome.
That stuff.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes,
the
man, yeah.
The man's got range. I'm friends with the comedian Tom Segura, who had Matthew McConaughey on his podcast and was talking to him about Tiptoes. And Matthew sent me a bottle of his tequila, and I have it. And it's
sweet,
autographed, and it's autographed.
Wow.
Sorry about
nice.
Tiptoes, Matthew McConaughey.
That is amazing.
That is brilliant.
Well done, yep. McConaughey. Well done.
Yeah.
Hey, speaking of well done, McConaughey, did you see that he's basically trademarked himself so that they can't AI create him? He's like one of the first, I think, to do that. So it's like,
oh, what? Oh, that's great.
Right? His image?
That's
yeah.
good for all of us because
yes.
there's no law. There are no laws
right.
in place
exactly.
for voices. I keep waiting for someone to like steal my voice.
Exactly. I'll do it.
Yeah.
I have no job. You know what I mean? Like,
we're going to put you back in K-Rock, Kat, but we're not going to pay you shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, right? Like that. Like, so yeah. well done, McConaughey. Like, it has to start somewhere, and it has to start with big names like McConaughey.
Yes. It's
yeah. And which is great because I recently had to take down, they eventually got taken down, but there were several social media profiles trying to be me, but they were stealing clips, which is fine, it's just my stand-up, but then they were also doing original content as me.
No.
Doing
was it Gary Oldman?
It was Gary Oldman
with knee pads.
Oscar winner Gary Oldman as Brad Williams.
Is Brad Williams
in a role
in
of a lifetime
too.
Yeah.
Boogaloo.
And, yeah. And they were like doing AI images of me and like doing stuff like
shit.
That and
really?
So yeah.
Trademark yourself, buddy.
I will say this. So far, AI, not really good at dwarves. Can Corny do photos? Can he do images?
No.
Oh, he can't do images?
Not yet. No. Mm-mm.
Yeah.
They have a thing where if I'm holding it, it can see through the camera and it can talk to me about what it sees, but it can't create an image or pull one up from the internet or anything like that yet.
Okay. Because, right now, AI images always make me too tall. They don't know how to do little people. They're like, well, that doesn't exist. So
what? How difficult is that? That seems like an easy math problem. What's happening?
So far, my job is safe. if you want the real deal, you can only go out and see me live or put an actual little person in a film or TV show that you're making.
Speaking of, when you're done with Salt Lake City, where else are you off to? So today is January 15th. We're recording this. What do you have coming up in the near future?
Oh, man. We're going all over Colorado this weekend and Greeley and Pueblo and Grand Junction. And then we go to Michigan. I don't even know where I'm going. I go on a plane. It lands. I go tell jokes. I'm opening up my own website. This is how I know where I'm going.
great.
Brilliant.
Boise, Idaho on January 22nd. 23rd, we're in Spokane, Washington. We're going to Seattle, Salem, Oregon. Yeah, go to bradwilliamscomedy.com. It's the Tall Tales Tour this year. It's going to take me all over the country and even overseas. We're going to Europe in December.
Nice.
Yeah. Awesome. I'm going to back to Oslo, Norway, and I'm going to Amsterdam. Sweet. And nice. It's going to be awesome.
Have you been to Amsterdam, Brad?
I have, and everyone kept thinking, like, well, he's clearly going to star in one of the sex shows, right, so let's just follow him.
And sure.
He's like, no. I guess I got mistaken for a cast member a couple of times. So that was interesting. No, it's a great area. I love it.
Is there a place where the fans go especially crazy for you that's, like, so noticeably better?
Where I'm at this weekend. This weekend I'm all over Colorado, and because I'm a huge Denver Broncos fan, and because...
Oh, right.
Here's my advice to you guys, because I consider you guys to be D-list celebrities like myself.
Sure. Proud of it.
Yeah, we'll take it.
Yeah.
Be a fan of a team that doesn't have a lot of A-list celebrities. See, Kevin's a big Kings fan, but you're behind Bieber, Will Ferrell, like, you're Goldie Hawn and Kurt Russell. Like, you're behind so many people, Kevin. You know? Yeah. But I'm a Ducks fan. We have me. Okay, so
because they only deserve half a fan, Brad.
Oh my God! Shots fired. What's up? Oh,
here, look at this. I text the Ducks and they give me gifts. They gave me the Duck Jordans. These are very nice.
So they
give me all sorts of stuff. So
they're hooking you up. You just do it for free stuff.
swag.
The Denver Broncos, thankfully, like if I was a Chiefs fan, I'm behind Taylor Swift and Eric Stone Street and Paul Rudd and all those guys. But no, Broncos fan. So they hook me up, and so whenever I do shows around Colorado, the fans really go a little bit of extra crazy for me, which is really nice.
Love it. Well, Brad, we appreciate you coming on today. We tried to make it happen as soon as possible, and you arranged your schedule so it would work. And thank you for doing that.
Uno, two, tres,
three-fourths human with
Kevin Cat
and Sluggo
and AI.